Welcome to the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Welcome back to the Press Box, CKDJ 107.9's longest running program. I'm Greg Avgaropoulos, joined by Mr. Josh McGrath. It's our first show in about almost a month now.
Yep,
I'd say
1 month, baby.
It's been a Josh. How have you been? First of all,
yeah, I've been wonderful, Greg. Just been working, grinding. I'm back at CKDJ.
How does that feel?
It's an interesting feeling.
I bet it sounds great.
I'm used to having like 20 people in the studio. There's like two of us now. It's like one other guy I know, and I'm just like, oh man,
it's okay.
Bunch of firsties.
Maybe I'll come visit you a few days when you're just here.
Yeah, man, I'll be chilling.
Just because I'm doing nothing.
Exactly.
But well, I am doing something. Don't listen to this later. But basically, there's a lot happened in the sports world over the last month that we couldn't talk about because we weren't doing the show. So now that we're back.
Greg went back home.
I did go back home. That was nice. Saw the parents. Saw the brothers. That was nice. You know, they're doing good. In case anyone cares.
Your dad answered my question. I was very happy about that.
Yeah. I got a nice video for you.
You're just giggling the whole time. It was so funny.
Because that video that I sent you took four takes. You know why it took four takes? Because the first one, I went to like record it. And I'm like, okay, go. And then he's like, wait, who's it to? And I was like, ugh. So I had to cut it. So that was the first take. Second take, I went to record. He starts talking. I accidentally end the recording. I'm like, oh, okay. So now we're on the third take. And then the third take, I had to record. And then he's like, in the middle, like we were about a minute into the conversation. I had to, he goes, when we're all, cause we were in the car. He goes, which way am I going? So I'm like, I gotta cut that too. So we're on the fourth take. I'm like, okay, just please. This is the last one. He's like, okay. So then we got that sorted out. It was like a 3-minute video. I was like, I don't know if Josh is going to understand all this. Hopefully he does. But I think he answered your question.
He did.
Okay. So that's good. That was a question you've been wondering for like what? Quite a few months.
A long time.
So he answered that. So now that we got all of our catching up out of the way, we're going to hop into the NFL, our first segment.
Greg has been ecstatic since he's been back. He's been waiting.
This is the best time of the year, ladies and gentlemen.
He's been counting down the days.
Listen, let me tell you. All right. So I hate September usually because that's when school starts. So it's always a terrible time, but it's always the best time too, because that's when football starts. So it's like apples and oranges, you know? Yeah. So now the football's back. I'm the happiest man on planet Earth. I have something to do now every Thursday, Monday, and Sunday, or Thursday, Sunday, Monday. Don't know why I said it like that, but Sunday, amazing day. Sat on my couch for 11 hours. Oh my God. It was unreal. Thursday was great. First game of the NFL season, so let's hop into that one, Josh. You want to tell us who's playing in that game?
Yeah, your boys. Speaking of which, you sent me the funniest selfie. Like, you woke up that morning, and like I woke up to a selfie of Greg in his full Buffalo Gears jersey and everything. He's just like giving me the deuces, just like looking up at his camera. It was like one of those old like 09 selfies. It was hilarious. But yeah, the Bills face the defending Super Bowl champions, Los Angeles Rams, and Greg. Safe to say, your boys look real good. Real good.
We're like that.
You are. You guys are
listen,
like that.
Listen here. All right, Josh. Let me lay it out. Let me paint a picture. Lay it out for you. All right. So, the Buffalonian Bills with the best quarterback in the NFL, Joshua Patrick Allen, he decided, hey, you know what? I'm going to start the game 18 for 18. You know, something like that. It was unreal. Great. One of the best things I've ever seen in my life. Okay? He started off hot. I'm like, oh, there's no chance we're losing. And then, start 11 for 11. And then on the 12th throw, Mike Tirico in the broadcast booth goes, oh, he started off 11 for 11. He's been perfect so far. Guess what? That was not a good idea to say that.
Cast a curse.
Yeah, because then Josh Allen puts a slant on Isaiah McKenzie's numbers on his chest. It's a perfect throw right here. He just had to, like that, to catch it. You know, he just had to pat his chest to catch it. No, it goes off his chest, gets intercepted. I was like, oh, well. Thanks, Mike Tirico, for jinxing it. That was terrible. And then the Rams got some momentum, and it really didn't do anything because that game, first of all, was just sloppy from the get-go. That's a classic week one football game. Turnovers galore. Nobody's in sync. I mean, the Bills were in sync. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, the first possession, I think Allen was 7 for 7, 75 yards and a touchdown pass. So that was the first drive. Unreal. And then after two interceptions, though, both of them really weren't his fault. The first one, as obviously Isaiah McKenzie hit him in the chest, and then he got intercepted. And the second one, it was a good ball by Allen, but Jameson Crowder decided to just not try to catch the ball and just let the defender get it. So that was interesting, too. And also James Cook from Georgia, the running back, Dalvin Cook's brother, he on his first NFL carry for the Bills, he fumbled. So he didn't see another snap till the second half after that. So yeah, it was just really sloppy, bad turnovers. Cooper Kupp's still that guy, by the way. He was unreal in that game. He had like 11, 12, 13 catches for like 130 yards and a touchdown. So even though the Rams looked terrible, Cooper Kupp, the lone bright spot for them. Obviously bright spot for Bills was Josh Allen. He went like 28 for 33, I want to say, something crazy like
26
that.
26 for 31.
Yeah, yeah.
97 yards.
Yeah, he was unreal. And he had three touchdowns and one rushing touchdown.
Yeah.
So it was wild. It was unreal. Oh, it was a great day.
He was also their leading rusher.
Yeah.
Which
he's like that.
Is that going to be a concern later in the year?
See, that's the thing, because me and my friends were talking, because they know I'm a Bills fan, obviously. I wear it on here. Basically, they were saying, like, why would you, like, if you're Ken Dorsey, the offensive coordinator, are you drawing up that many QB runs in the first game of the season when you know, like, you've got a whole season ahead and you need him to be healthy? And I'm like, you know, for, like, a normal quarterback, I'd say absolutely not. For Josh Allen, I say it's fine because that guy's a unit. He doesn't get injured. He's 6'5", 250. So, like, he
also stiff-armed someone super, super hard.
Sent him to the shadow realm. It was crazy.
I was right on
he just
butt.
Does that. I don't. He does that at least once a game.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
He was just like, get off me.
Yeah. I was saying some profound things in the living room when I saw that.
I can imagine.
Yes. It was unreal. But, yeah, that was the first game of the season. Bills won 31-10. Absolute domination of the Super Bowl champs, I might add. Super Bowl champs last year. We know how it would have went if Buffalo beat Kansas City. But, you know, I digress. So,
way it goes.
Moving on to Sunday. Our first NFL Sunday of the year. We had a lot going on. About almost every game, I think, in the 1 o'clock window was like a one-score game. Or it was like really, really close.
Except for the Patriots.
Yeah, screw those guys. so the Patriots versus the Dolphins in week one AFC East matchup. I watched a little bit of this game because that game was on the TV. That was the game in our area. It was on the TV. So I had that one on the TV and then had a bunch of other ones on the computer. Then had the phone and whatever. You know, I was watching like 12 games at one time. It was wild. But that game was on the TV. I don't think I can describe how bad my eyes were hurting watching those two teams play football on Sunday. It was so bad. Tua is terrible. Mac Jones is terrible. The Patriots suck. Their team is not good. The Dolphins have a good team. They just got Tyreek Hill. He looked really good in his debut. Tua was kind of force-feeding him, which I expected because, you know, first game on a new team, Tyreek Hill, one of the best receivers in the league. That game really answered questions for me about how Tua is still not good at football. He's still bad. Mac Jones, still bad. And it really just came down to defense. And the Dolphins got a strip sack fumble for that went for six. So that was pretty much it after that. The Patriots can score. What else is new? They can't do that without Mr. Thomas Brady. But that was that. And then we had a shootout here with the Eagles and the Lions. I don't think anybody expected the Lions to put up 35 points. I definitely didn't. I don't know anybody could have guessed that. That was wild. And then in Chicago, there was a monsoon out with the Bears and the 49ers. The field was literally like the ocean.
Yeah,
It was crazy. I don't know how they even played. But the Bears won. Nobody expected that either. I think everybody thought they were going to be one of the worst teams in the league, and then they beat San Francisco in the first game. Obviously, the rain helped with them because if it was a normal game, they probably would have got blown out. But they get their first win. That was crazy. The 49ers are starting 0-1 in the Trey Lance era. Jimmy G's on the bench. I don't know if he's happy or not because he's probably like, this guy took over my job, and then he just proceeded to score 10 points on Chicago. I don't know. But the Steelers and the Bengals. Steelers beat the Bengals. Who knows how? I really don't know. Joey Burrow looked terrible in that game. That game went to overtime.
Well, he had 5 turnovers that game?
Yeah, he threw three picks.
Four.
Yeah, 4 picks and then a fumble. Yeah, it was... It was crazy. I don't know what happened to him. I was like, Joey, what are you doing, buddy? It's the Steelers. They stink. But they got the win. So, weird week in the NFL. Also, Baker made his return to Cleveland. He once again looked terrible. It's really funny because he said like a few weeks ago in an interview, he said, I'm, and I quote, I'm going to F them up when asked about the Cleveland Browns. He did not F them up. They F'd him up. It was very bad.
Yeah.
They lost by 2 points on a game-winning field goal. Baker, once again, proved to us again that he's also not good at football still. Saints and the Falcons, that also won on a game-winning field goal, 27-26. The Ravens blew up the Jets. The Commanders got their first win as their new name against the Jaguars. The Vikings blew up the Packers.
Weren't they Commanders last year?
No, they were the Washington football team last year. Yes, the football team. The Vikings blew out the Packers, which is similar to what happened last year with the Packers. They also got blown out by the Saints last year in week one, and then they ended up having a really good year. So I wouldn't be too worried if I'm a Packers fan, but the Vikings look really good. I was impressed. The Giants, the New York football Giants have won a week one for the first time since 2012 or something like that, something crazy like that. They won on a game-winning two-point conversion by Saquon Barkley. He had a crazy day. He had one of the best weeks in fantasy football history. Yeah, it was wild. The Chargers beat the Raiders. That was an interesting game. I thought it was going to be a lot more high scoring, but it was only 24-19. Derek Carr threw three picks. He did not look great, but Devontae Adams looked pretty good on his new team. The Chiefs blew up the Cardinals, no surprise. The Bucks beat the Cowboys, and Dak is going to be out for 8 weeks, something like that, because he broke his thumb or something with his thumb.
Yeah.
So he got thumb surgery. He's not going to be back for a while. Josh, thoughts on your team?
Depressing. I mean, like, as a Cowboys fan,
yeah,
this happens all the time.
It does.
Never expect to be good.
Yeah.
Don't have high hopes.
Yeah.
It's always going to come burning.
It's true.
But it's even worse now because me and Greg were talking about this, and I was like, we just paid him so much money like last year.
Yeah.
And he lost a playoff game. I mean, it was also the coach lost his playoff game. It was a terrible play call.
Yes.
But he's never won a playoff game, one.
No.
Two, he's making, I think, the third most in the league for quarterbacks.
Yeah, he's like top five getting paid
right now. Top five right now. He's making like $40 million a year or something.
Yeah.
And he's like a mid, like he's probably still arguably top 10, but like he doesn't play like he's top 10 90% of the time.
Yeah.
It's like when he's on, he's top 10, but like every other game of the season, he's like probably bottom half.
Yeah, he looks quarterback. Great. Like, as I said this to you as well, I was like, I think Dak might be the worst quarterback ever to throw 37 touchdowns in a season. Because, like, he had a really good touchdown interception ratio last year. 37 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. That's really good.
Yeah.
He also had, like, 4,500 yards. That's really good. But then I watch him play. It's just eye test. It's like, this guy looks terrible at football. I don't understand it. I don't know how he does it. But, yeah. Also, I think not having Amari Cooper now for Dallas because they cut him, I think that also really took a swing to their offense because, like,
they
couldn't move
him.
The ball.
Yeah.
They couldn't throw. They
like
couldn't.
CD Lamb's our number one receiver, and that's not ideal.
Yeah, like, and he's more of like a slot guy. He's not he's not like a number one. He's a good player, but yeah. So that was a blow. And then obviously we had Russell Wilson's return to Seattle, which happened last night. And my God, he did not look good. the Denver team did not look good. I was not impressed. Geno Smith was diming all over the field. On the Denver Broncos, Nathaniel Hackett with one of the most, the new coach of the Broncos with one of the most questionable things I've ever seen in my life yesterday. 4th and 5 from, it would have been a 64-yard field goal from there. There's about 40 seconds left. He burned like 20 seconds trying to figure out the play. Then he called timeout to just kick the field goal from 64 yards, even though he could have gone for it on 4th and 5, got more yards, and then kicked a closer field goal for the win. But no, he decided not to do that, and then they lost. And, yeah, so a wild week in the NFL. We got about 30 seconds here. On Thursday, we have the Kansas City Chiefs and the Los Angeles Chargers, an NFC or an AFC West matchup there. Josh, predictions for that game? What are we saying? Patrick Mahomes or Justin Herbert for that game?
I'm going to go Mahomes. He looked good in his week one. Chiefs looked really good week one overall. So I think Chiefs.
I'm going to have to agree. I'm going to take the Chiefs as well in that game. Mahomes is still Mahomes. The Chiefs are still the Chiefs, and Andy Reid is still running them very well. So that has been our NFL segment. When we come back, we're going to get into the NBA. NBA, right?
I think so, yeah. it's been a month.
It's been a month, yeah.
It'll be the NBA today.
Okay, for now it's NBA. We don't actually know if it is, but it's going to be NBA. So we're going to get into the NBA, talk about Donovan Mitchell and everything going on. So please stay with us after these brief few messages.
The Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Welcome back to The Press Box, CKDJ 107.9's longest-running program. I'm Greg Avgaropoulos, joined by Mr. Josh McGrath. Same game. We are going to get into the NBA As of right now, Josh, do you want to talk about Donovan Mitchell or Cat's blasphemy tweets just now?
Let's start with Donovan Mitchell because that happened a while ago.
Okay, so we're going to start with Donovan Mitchell. The full trade I have here, Utah traded Donovan Mitchell to Cleveland for Lauri Markkanen, Ochar Agbaji, Colin Sexton, 3 unprotected first-round picks, and 2 pick swaps. Sources, ESPN. So, Josh, thoughts on this trade for Cleveland and thoughts on this trade for Utah?
Well, I just want to say, y'all heard it here first last year. I said, when Utah does not go out of the second round or they have a bad playoff run, they're blowing it up. And here we are. They blew it up. Rudy's out. Donovan's out.
He did say
and
that.
They're
he
talking about that. Mike Conley and a trade somewhere. So, that being said, Utah, you're doing the OKC. Get as many draft picks as you can. Have a good future coming up. Cool. I like that. Good for you, Utah. Doesn't matter. No one likes your franchise. Two, Cleveland. That's a team.
Yeah.
They have a roster.
Yeah.
Like, their team is crazy.
Do you want to hear the projected starting lineup?
Yeah, and they still have opportunities to continue making moves. That's the craziest part about it.
Yeah, like, they're going to have Darius Garland, Donovan Mitchell, Isaac Okoro, Evan Mobley, and Jared Allen. That's probably going to be their starting lineup.
Yeah.
And that is crazy.
And then off the bench, you have Caris LeVert, who's a starter on a majority of teams in the league.
Yeah, he seems to get passed around a lot, though, even though he seems like he's a good player.
Because I think it's just because, like, his value is, like, good to just, like, throw into a trade. Yeah. He's impactful, but he's not, like, he's going to help
he's
you get
an
extra,
beater.
Like, yeah. He's not going to help you get a bunch of extra wins. But on a good team, he's very valuable because he's going to be, like, a Jordan Clarkson type guy where it's, like, spark off the bench, instant offense, and he has pretty good defense. And then also, they also have Kevin Love, who's, like, a really good captain for them. So it's, like, and Ricky Rubio if he comes back healthy. So they're like 9-10 deep.
Yeah.
They're going to be a force to be reckoned with in the East. And the East has gotten better in the offseason. With obviously Philadelphia getting PJ Tucker, Montrezl Harrell, re-signing Harden. Bucks didn't really do anything, but they're the Bucks. They have the best player in the world, arguably.
Yeah.
And what was the other team that made a good trade? Oh, and then Boston getting Malcolm Brogdon. So, like, they're probably going to be top 3, top 4 in the league, I think.
Yeah, I was talking to one of my friends about this as well. I was like, man, if everything goes right, which is it's very unlikely to happen, like, low-key, what if Cleveland just comes out of nowhere and decides, hey, we're going to just get first place in the East?
They could.
I think it's a possibility. Like, I know there's a lot of good teams in the East, but they're really young. They're very – because when you're that young, you're very durable. You're not going to get injured too much.
Yep.
The whole starting lineup, I think they're all probably under, like, 25, 26.
Yep.
And – also, they're not even, like, at their full potential yet. Like, they could they're not in their primes at all, and they're all very, as I said, they're very young. So I think they can be really, really good. They just got to figure out how to all work together. That's gonna that may be a challenge.
No, I actually think that's gonna be the easier part for them because, like, last year, their problem was Garland had to do everything for them offensively. Mm-hmm. Like, it was him or Mobley, and, like, Mobley is a good passer from the post, but, like, anywhere else, he wasn't very useful. So Garland literally had to run the offense. But now with Mitchell, they're going to be able to kind of share the load offensively. Donovan Mitchell is a better passer than people give him credit for. And they can both score the basketball at any point in the game. So I think that big three is a big three that's going to be around together for a long time.
Between Mobley,
Garland, and Mitchell.
Yeah.
So, and I just saw something. Apparently the Cavs could consider moving Jared Allen to the Raptors.
Why would they want to do that?
I don't know. Maybe if they can somehow get, like, OG back or something. That'd be kind of crazy.
That would be.
But I don't
think Jared Allen's a good player, though, especially at, like, the center. Like, don't they need a big guy?
I think so, too. But, I mean, you could just move Mobley to the 5.
That's
not
true.
A great 3-point shooter, so you can have him inside. But I think keeping Allen's huge for them.
I agree, especially as a rim protector. And, like, he's just he's a good rebounder.
He jumps up with anybody. He doesn't care.
He doesn't care. Yeah, I like players like that who are just going to risk getting posterized. I'm like, I respect it because it's like if you're going for the block, it's fine. Who cares? Like, you get dunked on, it happens, you know, as long as you're trying to protect the rim and, you know, you don't want them to score. So I think it's a good thing when you have players like that who aren't afraid to do stuff like that or get embarrassed or whatever.
Yeah. Moving on, we'll just quickly mention Patrick Beverley is now a Laker.
Josh.
All of a sudden.
Thoughts? Thoughts with him and Russ together?
That's an interesting duo. I don't know. It seems like from photos and stuff of them in practice, they seem to be enjoying each other's company.
I did see they were laughing together.
Yeah, and then I also saw something that apparently they got into an exchange in between practice, like at practice one day.
That's going to happen.
Because they released their minutes for the season, And
that's what they got him out of?
I think so, because I think Pat took Russ's minutes. So I think they kind of started going back and forth. And,
yikes.
You know, Pat probably threw some snarky comment, and Russ barked back, and then all that.
I mean, Russ does suck.
The trade was pretty much Lakers gave up a pick. THT, which, thank God, man, that guy's terrible. And Stanley Johnson, which I was sad about him because he was like one of our better players
last year. Raptors legend.
Raptors legend, and he's just a lockdown. But we get Pat Bev, which I like because he's going to continuously make Anthony Davis play through his soreness that he goes through like every season, and he's going to hold LeBron accountable and all these other guys. So I kind of like to pick up. He is 34 years old. I think we gave up way too much for him, but hey.
So who do you think?
Do what you got to do.
Who do you think is going to be the primary ball handler? Is it still going to be LeBron?
LeBron, 100%. And I think you can have when Pat Bev's on the court, you can have him do it when Russ is. But LeBron, he's going to have the ball in his hands a lot of the time.
Yeah. So how do you think Beverly's going to be as like a spot up guy? Do you think he's going to play that? Because like he's going to have to be a guy like that if LeBron's going to have the ball.
Yeah, he's going to he like showed that he can shoot the three ball.
Yeah, he can shoot it.
His big thing obviously is going to be defense. He's got to come in and be a pest on the defensive end. And prove Russell Westbrook wrong that he doesn't just run around and do things, that he actually plays defense. So, I like it. I'm interested to see how Mr. Coach Ham does because our offense last year was tragic. So I really hope we have a good offense this year.
What do you think the starting lineup's going to be on opening night?
I would say I think it's going to be Russ, Reeves, Braun, AD, and well, we got Damian Jones and who's the other guy we got? He played on the Wizards last year, I think.
Bryant?
Yeah, Thomas Bryant. I think he'll start for us. I think it'll be those five.
So you think Pabell's going to be six men off the bench?
I think so. I think him and Russ can't be on the court together at the same time.
That sounds like death.
Yeah, it sounds like a terrible idea to me. But I think they kind of have to be because we don't have anyone else.
Yeah.
We got Lonnie Walker and stuff, so it'll be interesting.
Where did Malik Monk go? Where did he sign?
Sacramento, man.
Oh, yeah. I forget. Yeah, I remember. That was early in the I remember that.
Like, depressing. Didn't pay him. Just let him walk. And he was literally...
He was your best player.
Yeah, arguably. Yeah, sad days. And then, what else has happened? I don't think there's any other massive trades.
There was nothing massive that we missed. That's for sure.
And then, I mean, obviously we have... Mr. Saverin finally... Or Sarver finally got his fine.
Yeah.
Not really much. He got 1 year... and fine $10 million after the investigation for being racist.
Really? Only $10 million?
Yeah. Edwards is under investigation for making homophobic comments.
Yeah, I saw the story. It wasn't good.
He made an apology today. I don't really think they're going to discipline him because, you know, he's going to be the face of the league very soon, but this is definitely something that's going to come back to bite him.
Yeah.
Oh,
we got to talk about the... Josh, what are your thoughts on the in-season tournament?
Oh, dude. Oh, my God. It's so weird. Like,
it's so dumb.
How are you going to do it? Because you're going to release the schedule, and then there's just going to be, like, eight teams that aren't going to have a schedule in December, really. Like, we're not going to get a full schedule because you're going to have eight teams that make it to the cup, like playoffs or whatever. Then they're going to have to play. So are we just not going to see Christmas Day matchups until, like, afterwards? Or is Christmas Day matchups going to be the cup games? Like, what is it going to be?
I don't think anybody really, like, knows yet. It's kind of just a little, like, thing that happened that no one's really aware of how it's going to work. Or, like, I guess Adam Silver knows. But, like, I don't know how they're going to do it. I don't know why they would do it. Like, I don't see a need for it. Like, I mean, you're obviously playing for the Larry O'Brien. Like, you're not playing for like the in-season, whatever award it is.
Like, unless they're going to make something where, like, because even if you give, like, an award, like, oh, all players get $1 million, that's, like, chump change to any NBA player.
Exactly. Like, they already have huge contracts anyway. Like,
ridiculous, even on a minimum. One thing I could see that can make it, like, somewhat interesting for teams is, like, hey, you guys can get a pick out of it or something. Like, you throw in a first-round pick for the future or something. That could be cool, but, like, even though I think awarding a team a first-round pick is kind of dumb.
I agree. Just for an in-season tournament? Yeah, like anybody can win an in-season tournament.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, that's probably what, and that's where I think it could be interesting because then at least, like, teams that are really good, they're not going to rest players midway through the tournament.
Yeah.
Or, like, and then the bad teams that are already tanking, they're going to be like, okay, well, we kind of need that top three pick. So it could make it interesting, but I don't think they do that.
And what do you think they're going to play for? Like, because, like,
just, like, a little trophy to put banners up in people's arenas. pretty much.
Why would you want to hang that up, though? It's an in-season tournament.
I don't know. Like, the Clippers hang up pictures of themselves.
Well, that's true. I mean, they have nothing else to hang up. That's all. Yeah.
They'll hang up their, like, division titles. It's hilarious.
It is funny. I'm not going to lie. The Raptors were that team before they won the championship. They did that all the time.
Yeah, it's hilarious. But, yeah, and then Karl-Anthony Towns went in an interview or on Twitter today and said that he's the best offensive player, one of the best offensive players of all time. Cat, you're not, dude.
No, not
you're
at all.
You're a good offensive player, but, like, you're not even, like, top 10 in the league, I don't think, right now.
I agree. I don't think so either.
Like, I think I could easily name 10 better than him.
I'd say he's more in, like, the...
Braun, AD, Steph, Luka. I even put Trae Young up there before him. I put Joel Embiid above him.
We're at 8.
There's 8. Devin Booker, 100%, and Jason Tatum.
Okay, there's 10 easy. That was easy. Not even a minute.
Yeah, like I literally had to like think for like 2 seconds because I was trying to think of NBA players, but that's about it. And yeah, you're probably not even top 20, but that's besides the point.
20? You want to name 10 more?
I probably could.
You want to?
No, I won't do it. I won't eat up all the time because I want to get into early prediction for awards.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Cat, keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
Maybe make the playoffs this year and then we can talk.
Yeah.
All right, early season awards.
Okay.
Coach of the year. I'm going Cavs coach. I don't remember his name, but Cavs coach.
I knew you're talking about. I don't know his name either, but I was going to say the Cavs coach.
MVP, Luka Doncic.
Oh, you think it's finally his year?
I think it's his year.
Can we get a prediction for his averages?
Like 30, 10, and 10. I think he averages a 30-point triple-double for the season, and they get 48 wins for the Mavs. Top 4 seed, MVP Luka Doncic.
Do the Mavs have a chance this year? Do the Mavs have a chance this year to go all the way?
No. Nuggets, Warriors, Clippers are all better than them.
Yeah. But that's they have like Luka. I mean, Luka could definitely single-handedly take over a game.
To be fair, Luka does own the Clippers, and he's only been in the league for like 3 years, but still. Clippers stay healthy. I think they...
I like the Clippers a lot. I like their team a lot.
Finals matchup for me, Bucks-Clippers, Bucks in 7. That's my early prediction. I think they beat the Warriors in like 5 games. If everyone's
5
healthy.
Games.
Dude, John Wall, PG, Kawhi, Terrence Mann, and then whoever they want at the 5 is absolutely terrifying.
That's true, yeah.
Terrifying.
It's very, that's like one of the most annoying lineups to
verify. Okay, so Coach of the Year, MVP. Rookie of the Year, the Pablo guy over in Orlando.
Montero.
Just because... Chet is gone.
Yeah, because unfortunate. LeBron injured him.
Yeah, big rip. Rookie. So I just said rookie. Sixth man. Caris LeVert.
Norm Powell. The GOAT.
He could. He can be up there for sure. I think Caris, just because I think he's going to be more consistent than Norm.
Yeah, fair enough.
So there were a defensive player of the year. It's either going to be between Giannis and a healthy Kawhi Leonard, I think.
You don't think Joel?
Nah, I don't think so.
Because he swats a million balls.
Yeah, but like overall, like Joel will take a lot of defensive plays off.
That's true.
Where like Giannis is like literally doing everything he can to keep them in sync, and Kawhi will literally just be like, "Okay, guys, I'll go hold LeBron to 2 points tonight." Like, he's not gonna be able to dribble.
Is Kawhi gonna be fully healthy though this year? Do you think?
I hope so, dude. He hasn't played basketball in like 2 years.
Yeah, it's been a while.
He just vanishes off the face of the planet. We just never hear from him, never see him. 10 seconds?
Yeah.
Jeez. NBA champions, Milwaukee Bucks.
I don't want to be lame, but I was going to say the Bucks too. So we both predict the Bucks. I mean, I kind of wanted them to win last year too. I'm just like the Bucks. But
just because I don't want the Clippers to win a championship.
Yeah, that would be horrible for you.
I'd be depressed, man.
You would be. It would be
Lakers,
a tough
Lakers month. Miss playoffs, Clippers win championship. That'll be the end for me.
It definitely could happen though.
That'll be the end. I know it could. That will be the end for me though.
All right, so that's been the NBA segment. When we come back, we're going to hop into the NHL. What's been going on in the offseason and all the free agent signings, trades, all that good stuff. So please stay with us after these quick few messages.
The Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Welcome back to the Press Box, CKDJ 107.9's longest-running program. I'm Greg Avgaropoulos. This is Josh McGrath-Sagan. We were just talking about some memes we saw on the interweb. When somebody died.
Your Highness.
Yeah. Rest in peace. Sorry about everything that's transpired on the internet recently. Hope you're doing well. We're moving on. So we're going to hop into the NHL. This is our third segment. of the show. Hope you've been enjoying so far in our return show after about a month. So, got a few things to talk about, a few free agent signings and what's really going on in the league. And also, preseason's starting in about three weeks now. So,
yeah, 24th.
Yeah, well, we're like getting
next week, isn't it?
Yeah, actually, yeah, preseason is starting soon. I meant the next season Saturday. Starting in like a few weeks, but yeah, preseason is starting literally next week. So, we're getting back into all the sports pretty much. Football just started. Hockey's gonna start soon. Basketball's gonna start soon. Everything's starting soon in the next few months here, and next few weeks in general. So, Josh, why are you squinting at your computer?
I'm confused. It says the Sens and Leafs play at 1 p.m. on Saturday, and then they play again at 7 p.m. on Saturday.
On the same day?
Same day. September 24th.
That has to be wrong.
That's what I'm assuming, man. It was Google. Do we ever question Google?
That's true. Google's always right. Well, I mean,
it's from the NHL.com.
Oh, you know what they're doing? They're probably playing like the way the NHL preseason works is they play like one half of the squad. Like they play some starters with some of the AHL guys in one preseason game, and then they'll play like the other half of the starters with the other preseason guys in the other game. So that's, I assume that's what they're doing if it's on the same day. I didn't know they were doing that the same day, though. That's interesting. Weird. But yeah, moving on. So, as we know, what happened so far in the obviously last season, the Colorado Avalanche won the Stanley Cup against the Tampa Bay Lightning. And a big conversation about the Colorado Avalanche was what are they going to do after the finals? Because they had a lot of guys to re-sign. They had a lot of cap trouble. And I think they've definitely gotten a little bit worse ever since last season because couldn't re-sign everybody, obviously. That was never going to happen. They got rid of their goalie, Darcy Kemper, who was very good last year. I think he had about a 920 save percentage during the whole year. So that's like top 10. So he was really good last year. And now he's gone. And I don't even know who their starting goalie is going to be, but it's not going to be good. And also Nazem Kadri, one of their best players in the playoffs last year, one of their best players during the season, the whole year. He was unbelievable. He signed a 7-year, $49 million contract, $7 million a year. He had 87 points in 71 games last year, so that was wild. And he's never done anything like that before. Trust me, I know. He never had any crazy points like that. Like I always thought he was a good player. I didn't think he was 90 point player. I didn't think that was possible. But he ended up doing that. So congrats to him. Signed. That's definitely going to be his last big deal of his NHL career. He's 31. So when this deal expires, he's going to be about what, 39, 36. 37, yeah. Something in that range. He's gonna be pretty old. So in the next few years, if Calgary doesn't, I forgot to mention, Calgary signed him to that deal. Forgot to say that. So he signed with Calgary. Obviously, we know Calgary just traded earlier in the offseason Matthew Tkachuk, their best player, for Jonathan Huberdeau, and also Mackenzie Weegar was in that deal. He went to Calgary. Did Mackenzie Weegar go to Calgary?
Yeah, they both went to Calgary.
Yeah, yeah.
Tkachuk went to Florida.
Yeah. So. Now, all of a sudden, Calgary looks really good. They obviously lost their best player in Johnny Gaudreau, so that was tough because he went to Columbus. But then they make up for it by trading for Huberdeau, Mackenzie Weegar, and then signing Nazem Kadri, who had 90 points last year. Now, to be honest, this contract for him being 31 years old, probably not good. And like, it will be fine for, I'd say, this year and next year. And then when he gets like 33, 34, like when he gets that old, it's going to be bad because definitely going to decline quite a bit in the next few years. And especially for a 7-year deal, like I thought he was only going to sign for like 3 years, 4 years, wherever he goes. 7 years, he's going to be 2, 3, 4, 5. He's going to be like 37 years old at the end of this contract. So he's going to be up there.
He'll be retired.
Yeah, he probably will be. And then they're going to have to pay off the rest of his contract until it's up. So, Josh, thoughts on this deal for Calgary?
I think it's a good deal, man, because they lost two players. They got three pretty solid players back. They're obviously the one seed last year going into the playoffs, so I think they can, finish top two, top three for sure, make a run in the playoffs again, and hopefully have a better Battle of Alberta than they did last year. But I think it's definitely big for them because Mackenzie obviously is a pretty good defenseman, bit of an offensive defenseman more than anything, but doesn't matter. He's going to put in, like, probably around 50, 60 points this year. I think they're going to be good.
Yeah, so the one thing about Calgary is are they better now that they got Jonathan Huberdeau, who was in the running for the MVP last year, Nazem Kadri, who was a great player for the Avs in the playoffs. He had 15 points in 16 playoff games last year. Big reason why they won the Cup, and Mackenzie Weegar. Is those three players, so Goudreau and Tkachuk both went out, and now you get Huberdeau, Kadri, and Weegar. Is that better than what they had last year with Goudreau and Tkachuk? I don't know.
It's up in the air. Like, yeah. You'd assume, because you got three players back for the productivity of two, but you never know. Like,
yeah, see, that's the thing, because Goudreau and Tkachuk both had really good years last year. They were actually on the best line in hockey last year. They had the most points with, I think it was, who's on their line? I forget who their line mate was, but it was Goudreau and Tkachuk on the line. I forget who their line mate was. It's slipping my mind right now. But they had the best line in hockey, and then they get rid of both of those guys because Goudreau didn't want to re-sign with Calgary, and so that obviously sucks for the Calgary fans and their management and everything. And also, Goudreau, he's going to get booed so hard when he comes back to Calgary. It's going to be really bad, yeah, because we saw it happen with Tavares with the Leafs when he left New York to go home. It is home, but like they got mad when he went home. I don't understand why. I wouldn't get mad if one of my star players was like, yeah, I want to go back home. I'm like, you know what? Fair enough. It would still hurt though. But when Tavares went back to, every time he goes back to New York, they boo the hell out of him. It's crazy. And then I think it's going to happen here with when Goudreau goes back to Calgary, because he actually declined Calgary's deal for more money. I think it was like an 8-year.
Because he wanted to go back home, right?
Yeah, he wanted to go to Columbus. It's like close to where he lives. And also his wife works at like the hospital there. They have like a really good like hospital, and his wife's like a surgeon or something like that. So they wanted to go there. It's near his house, and also there's a good opportunity for his wife. I assume that's also why they went there. And so yeah, that's why he went there. Calgary's obviously not going to be happy with it. He declined like an 8-year, and it had to have been like $10 million, $10.5 million a year from Calgary, and then he took a 7-year and $9 million a year deal for Columbus. So he's gonna make like almost $2 million less playing in Columbus than he would have in Calgary. So sometimes, you know, it goes to show it's not all about money. Sometimes it's about, you know, what's going on in your life, stuff like that. I definitely would have signed back with Calgary if I were him, but obviously, you know, his choice. He went to a worse team, because Columbus is, I don't think they're gonna be good. They weren't good last year. They weren't good the year before. So that's an interesting one. We'll see how that plays out for him. But Nazem Kadri, I think he's gonna have a good year on Calgary. I'm excited to watch them play, especially with Huberdeau, because he was second running or third running in the MVP last year. He had like 100 points, and that was also like, I thought Huberdeau was always a good player, but didn't think he was a 100 point player until last year, where he just took off and it was crazy. And so that's what happened with Nazem Kadri and all those details with those teams. And then we have the Montreal Canadiens. They named a Toronto native, Nick Suzuki, their 31st captain in franchise history. Nick Suzuki was drafted about 4 years ago, I want to say. He's in his fifth year now, going into his fifth season. He's been a pretty good player through his whole career, and he had so far, that is. And he just got a few months ago now, he got I think it was an 8-year, $8 million per year deal. So they just locked him up long term. He's going to be their captain, their 31st in franchise history. And also, Josh, thoughts on the logo on the Montreal jersey?
Bro, it's ugly. Like, I get it. That's their colors, like blue and red. But like the RBC logo, like literally just stands out like crazy.
Because it's blue and yellow, so like it looks really weird.
Yeah, it's just an odd.
And it's huge. It's like a big square. Yeah. Or like rectangle.
Yeah.
It's very odd.
Very odd. Also, 5 hours ago, Jordan Kyrou signs 8-year extension with the Blues for $65 million.
Yeah, so that deal, I'm a huge fan of that one. I like Jordan Kyrou a lot, young player. I think in his fourth year in the league now, he's been really good. Last year, I think he had 75 points in 75 games last year, so really consistent point-per-game player. And this comes recently after the Blues locked up Andrew Thomas. They're one of their really good players too. He had basically the same deal as Kyrou, eight million per year. Same thing Andrew Thomas signed. So both of their two stars got the same contract. So that must be pretty good for them. Both of them point per game players. I like this deal a lot for them. I think St. Louis is still a really good team in the West, and they could definitely still make some noise. But you know, we'll see. They got rid of their goalie Ville Husso, and it's just going to be Binnington now, who is very inconsistent and is kind of a psychopath. So we'll see how that goes for them. And then we have Montreal signed forward Kirby Dach to a 4-year contract for $3.5 million per year. He's a solid third line player. He's only 21, only been in the league for, he's 21. He's been in the league for 3 years, so he's definitely experienced now. But he's still very young, has a lot to learn. He had 26 points in 70 games last year, and he's a good player. He's going to play on the probably like the third, fourth line. Really good. He's got a lot of raw talent because he's young, only 21, as we said. I think this is going to be a good deal for Montreal. I like what Montreal's doing. They're building from the ground up. They just had the number one pick with Yaroslav Slavkovsky. I'm still surprised that they didn't take Shane Wright. That was still wild to me that they took him. But, whatever they want to do. I actually don't know if Slavkovsky's going to play this year for Montreal or he's going to be in the minors, or we don't really know. So I like what Montreal's doing so far. They obviously just named their captain, and they just signed Kirby Dach, and they've done some good work here. So I'm impressed with them, with what they've done. And also the Leafs signed a few players to be on their fourth line. Zach Aston-Reese from Pittsburgh, he signed like a 1-year deal for like $1 million. So he's going to be on the fourth line. He's a good defensive player, something the Leafs needed in their bottom six. And they also signed, I don't even remember, but just another like third, fourth line guy. So, the NHL has been doing a lot of stuff with the free agency. There's been a lot of free agent signings. There was like obviously the first few days free agent signings were crazy. There was a million of them, and then there was a little break between those few weeks, and then just literally about a week ago now, there's been quite a few that are just popping off. So, it's still free agency. Season's starting soon. I'm excited to see how the Leafs play with Matt Murray and Ilya Samsonov as their tandem in net. That doesn't sound good at all. We'll see how it goes. Matt Murray was obviously terrible in Ottawa, but he won two cups in Pittsburgh. So, that's one thing to hang on to. And Ilya Samsonov was not good last year on Washington, but he's still young. He's only 25. So we'll see how that goes. So, that's really all I got here. We still got 2 minutes to go. So, I don't really know what else to talk about right now, to be honest. That's all I got.
We can just throw it to a break and then do UFC for an extra 2 minutes.
Okay, that's what we'll do. All right. So that's been the NHL segment. We will be back with the UFC. We are going to recap 3 cards that we missed. And we'll be back after these quick few messages. Please stay with us.
The Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Welcome back to the Press Box. CKDJ 107.9's longest running program. We're going to mention that every time now. Because it is. It's a fact. So, I'm Greg Avrapos, joined by Mr. Josh McGrath Sagan, and we are now into our last segment here, the UFC, because we missed a lot over the last month or so. Got about 3 cards to recap, so Josh, go ahead, start with the first one, sir.
All right, so 278, I'll give you guys a quick rundown of some of the actually just 3 fights. Marab, I'm not even going to try to say his last name, beat Jose Aldo, the legend that somehow competes at 135, don't know how, by decision. I didn't get to watch that fight, unfortunately. What was I doing then? I was at my uncle's. So I actually missed most of this card. I'll give you guys a picture when we get to the main fight. Paulo Costa beat Luke Rockhold by decision, and Luke Rockhold hung up the gloves. I would kind of expect
that. It was
a
fun fight, though.
That's what I heard. It was fun. I didn't get to rewatch it yet.
Oh, yeah. You didn't watch it.
But then the main event, Kamaru Usman, Leon Edwards. Paint the picture for you. I was up for almost 24 hours that day. Yeah, so I didn't sleep much. I woke up that morning. Got like 2 hours of sleep, woke up, went and played golf all day. Me and my cousin were boozing at 8 a.m., drank all day, left my uncle's at like 1 a.m., and we had to go, like, my cousin was driving me back, but we had to go to her mom's, which is like in Navin, so like the complete opposite way of where I am. So I'm in the car, I'm like sitting there like about to sleep, and I'm like, oh, wait a minute, Usman's fighting.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'll put it on. So I'm in the car, I watch like 3 rounds. I'm just like sitting there, classic snoozeman fight, like it's just not very entertaining. He's going back to his roots, just like, I'm going to hold you up against the cage, stomp on your feet, hit you in the thighs a little bit, Charlie horse you. I'm like sitting there, I'm about to fall asleep, and then all of a sudden, it happens. Minute left.
Oh, did it happen?
I was literally about to lock my phone. I was literally about to lock it, because I was like, oh, that's game. And all of a sudden, boom, head kick. Usman out cold. I was like, in the back of the car.
Oh no, I was shocked.
You start spamming my phone.
I was like, what
Dennis
the hell?
Starts spamming me. Yeah. Like, I just start getting text message galore from people. And I'm just like, oh my God.
I was in shock for a good hour. Like, I'm not gonna lie. I was literally like shook.
I woke up the next morning and was still shocked. I was like, oh my goodness.
I was like, did that really just happen?
Like, Edwards did it. He did the unthinkable.
And he was losing the fight.
He was getting mauled.
Yeah, he was terrible.
He's going to be a 50-45.
He wasn't fighting well at all. That's not how he usually fights. Like, he just didn't look good. It looked like he looked a little nervous, to be honest, to be in there. He just didn't look right.
Yeah. And then, he somehow walked away with the belt.
Pound for pound, headshot dead, as he said.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And now he's champion of the world.
He made me happy, though. Made me happy.
He has the longest active welterweight win streak now that he's beaten Usman. He took that title from him. And now, obviously, they're going to run it back at some point. When? We don't know. But they're going to run it back.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. When they run it back, I'm taking Usman, though.
Usman probably. But he has to fix, obviously, that little issue he has where he decides to dip out to the right because Leon will catch him again. Yeah. He does it. So that was pretty much the fight. That was a crazy one.
Yeah.
Crazy card overall. Then we had the Gon versus Tuivasa card in Paris, which was a pretty fun one. Robert Whittaker beat Marvin Vettori. Decision. Rob looked good. Just not good enough to beat Izzy is the sad part.
Yeah. It's not fair because he's going to be like number two in the division forever.
He's the gatekeeper now.
Yeah.
Almost every division has it now. It's like Piotr Jan, Robert Whittaker, Dustin Poirier, Colby Covington at 170. Like, everyone has it now, which kind of sucks. Whittaker looked really good. Vettori looked like Vettori, just Whittaker's better than him.
Yeah.
And then we got to the main event, which, you know, obviously I thought it was just going to be Cyril Gane show all day, but no. Tai Tuivasa.
He had his moments.
He showed that he deserves to be in that top five of heavyweight division. I thought it was a little too early for him. I was like, I don't know if he's gotten that much better.
I thought it was too early as well. But man, it turns out, I mean, he looked good. So
he's a slugger.
Yeah.
He'll take a shot to give you a shot, and that shot might just put you to sleep. Exactly. So he dropped Gon. He rocked
Gon, yeah.
And that's, like, I think one of the only people ever actually, like, touch Gon in a fight.
You know what's crazy that he could touch him like that too? Because he's like, he's obviously got the severe height and reach and disadvantage. Like, it's like,
yeah, like he was, he looks small in there. Well, not small, but like he looks short. And yeah, he obviously, Gon does not have an iron chin.
Yeah.
He can be dropped. He said that Ty's the hardest person he's ever fought, or hardest hitter that he's ever fought, but he's never been touched by Ngannou. So I'm curious if Ngannou can touch him.
Yeah.
I feel like Gon does just shut down. Like,
I think probably. He just goes out. I mean, because if Tuivasa can put him down like that, imagine what Ngannou could do to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I think. Yeah, it's pretty much it for that card. The rest of the card was like mid. It was okay. A lot of decisions. It was actually almost everything was a decision, so it was whatever. And then this past weekend, a whole fiasco happened. The night before the card. It was kind of crazy.
It was wild.
So, Nate Diaz was originally supposed to fight Khamzat Chimaev. Khamzat was pretty much like, you know what? I'm not going to cut weight because Nate Diaz was disrespecting him all week. Walked in at 180 pounds.
Yeah.
Was like, I'm not making weight. Didn't even try. Like, he literally was like, I think one of the first people to scale, had like 2 hours left to cut weight, and just like smiled and walked off. Was just pretty much like, I'm going to maul this man. Which he was already going to win, so I don't know why he did it.
Yeah.
And Khamzat's coach actually came out today or yesterday.
He's going to fight middleweight now, right?
Well, that. But he also said, he's like, it wasn't the physician's choice because that's what Dana said. The physician apparently told him to stop cutting because he was cramping. It wasn't. Khamzat was literally just like, I'm not cutting weight.
Yeah, because I read the same thing where I saw Dana say that the doctor said, oh, it's not safe for you to cut more weight. Like, you're gonna like kill yourself basically or whatever. So he's like, okay, I'm not going to. But yeah, that's not the case.
No, he didn't. He was just like, I'm not doing it. So anyways, they had to rearrange the entire card.
Yeah.
So
there was a lot of shuffling going on the night before.
What ended up happening was instead of Khamzat, Diaz, Holland and Rodriguez and Li Jiang and Ferguson, ended up being Diaz versus Ferguson, Khamzat, Kevin Holland, and Jiang versus Rodriguez. Yeah. Crazy. Craziness.
Yeah.
Start off the night, Johnny Walker fought the Hulk. I own Cute Abba. I don't know how to say his name.
Close enough.
Always, it's so close. Johnny Walker won by submission. Johnny Walker looked good since he quit the weed. He stayed off. He looked one of the only people who actually take Stephen A's advice. Stay off the weed. Off
the weed.
And he did. And he fought really well. So that was nice to see. I love Johnny Walker. He's a fun guy to watch.
Also, there were 3 catchweight fights on this card now because of the whole shuffling.
Yeah.
So that was a mess. Yeah.
It was stupid.
Yeah.
There's actually 4.
There's 4?
No, yeah, there's 3 because Nate Diaz wasn't a catchweight fight because Tony made 170.
Yeah.
Anyways, and then Irene Aldana and Macy Chasson. They had a good fight. Yeah. Irene started off really strong. Macy was like, you know what? You're not going to beat me. You're going to have to take it from me. Started winning the second round. Looked like she might win the third round. And then Irene was like, yo, by the way, that liver, out.
Yeah.
Put her down. Crazy up kick. Put her out. And really fun fight to watch. Li Jilang, the guy that got screwed.
Man, I feel so bad for him.
He got screwed, man. He learned English. He got a new suit. And he had such a horrible weekend. He didn't do any of it. And then he got arguably robbed of a fight. Yeah, so,
like, you got a nice suit. You learned English. You didn't get to show off the suit. You didn't get to show off the English. Nothing. And then you lost. I mean, in my opinion, I think he got robbed. I know you said you think Rodriguez won, but.
Yeah, we'll talk. If we have time, I'll explain my thought process on it because it's I don't like the judging. Yeah, that was a fun fight. It was just kind of like a slugfest. Lee was, like, really slipping, catching shots, making Rod bleed, and Rod was kind of pushing the pace, starting all the exchanges, so it was good. And then Khamzat fought Kevin Holland, which I think if you're a psychopath, you'd bet Kevin Holland, but, like, everyone knew Khamzat was going to win that very easily.
I agree. I didn't think it was going to be like that, though. I knew he was going to beat him easily, but like that, like he just came in right away, just shot for the takedown, and he was done.
Yeah. I figured that's pretty much what's going to happen. But what actually happened was Kevin Holland looked like he hurt his shoulder, and that's why he tapped.
Yeah.
Because it was in one of the exchanges where, like, you can just see, like, Holland, like, has a weird, like, scramble, and, like, his shoulder looked like it just popped.
Yeah, because honestly, when it happened, first of all, I know Holland went for, like, the little, like, dap up before the fight, and then Khamzat just said, no, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
So he took him down. And then Holland's defense looked solid. Like, he was, like, scrambling and stuff. I was like, okay, he's doing a decent job staying out of, like, the, you know, getting mauled for like, the whole round. And then, but then he just sprawled too many times. And then he did hurt his shoulder because he was just jumping all over the ring trying to get away from Khamzat. And then, he hurt his shoulder. Then he tapped. And then I was like, oh, Khamzat, that, he is. And then he said, I kill everybody. And I was like, oh, my God, what is going on?
Yeah.
So that was an event.
That was an event. Shout out to Holland, though, for taking that fight because that was.
Facts.
There's no reason for him to take it.
This is why Kevin Holland's sick, man. He's just a cool guy.
He's one of the true guys that's just like, I'm game for anything, anywhere, anytime.
He also fights all the time. Like, he's so active.
He just fights.
Which is great.
24/7. I love it.
Yeah.
And then the main event, it was kind of like a lose-lose.
It was like watching your two uncles fight at the cookout. That's how it was like.
I wanted both of them to win, but I really wanted Ferguson to win because I knew Nate Diaz is hanging it up after this. But I know Ferguson has not.
Yeah. So I also wanted Tony.
Please, Tony. Please do it. Please break your 5-fight loss streak.
No, it was not good.
Did not do it.
It was not good.
He was looking terrible. Like, he turned his back on Diaz like 10 times. I didn't understand.
It was very odd. Like, he usually does weird stuff like that, but it's like, it was weird.
It was very weird. Like, it was, he had no reason to. And, Diaz got the sub in round 4.
Also, I don't know why he tried to shoot for a takedown. Like Nate's, he doesn't like going to the ground, but when he gets there, like, he can throw up.
Yeah, he can throw up subs from the bottom. So, yeah, it was an okay card. Wasn't anything crazy.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. It wasn't great. No. Especially only because, but like, it could have been decent, but like, then all this stuff happened and whatever.
The fights were made better, I'd say.
Yeah, I agree. I think this actually worked out in the favor, but also, like, the matchup for this card anyway, all the people on this card, they didn't get big enough names. Like, it just wasn't good enough. Yeah, it wasn't great.
Next week, we have Sanhagen versus Song Yadong.
Yeah.
I love that fight. I hope Corey wins because I'm a big Corey Sanhagen fan. I love Sanhagen. It'll be interesting. So, back to what I was saying about the Rodriguez and Lee fight. How do judges decide what is a significant strike and not?
That's a good question.
Because you watch a Diaz fight, and typically Diaz will have a massive gash over his eye in the first, like, minute of the first round.
Yeah.
And it'll be a little jab. He'll eat some crazy big sweeping kick to the face, and he'll stand there. But a little jab will give him a big gash.
Yeah.
And then, like, through that fight, it looked like Lee was landing, like, the more significant strikes. But I found Rodriguez was landing power shots, and he was initiating everything. Like, Lee was kind of just, like, waiting, and then just, like, one punch, walk out, one punch, walk out. So it was, like, to me, I feel like they have to make the scoring a little more, instead of having, like, okay, if it's too close on striking, we go to grappling. If there's no grappling, we go here. You just kind of have, like, a combination of it all. And that's kind of how I judge fights when I'm watching them. It's, like, having octagon control is a big deal. whether you're pushing the pace or you're or not. It's like it's big having the center of the ring. I don't know. It's just it's very weird when you're watching it.
So my take on this is, I know you're a big octagon control guy, which I understand, because if others, as you said, the other categories, you're not too sure what to judge what on. Octagon control is also like the next thing you look at. But
yeah.
In my opinion, octagon control really doesn't mean a whole lot, especially if you're not doing much with it. Like I don't think when they were exchanging, like I know Rodriguez was walking him down the whole fight, but when they were exchanging, it seemed to me like Lee was getting the better of every exchange. That was just me personally. I thought he was landing more. Like when he would come in, he would just counter him a few times, you know, get out of the way. He was moving well. And even then, like, he didn't hurt Lee at all. I thought Lee had landed some good shots, but you know, it's harder to stun somebody that's like 20 pounds heavier than you are.
Yeah.
So like that was tough too, to try to, I guess that's also hard to determine a significant strike because you don't see a guy getting like rocked or anything, or like, because it doesn't look that crazy when Lee's throwing something versus like if Rodriguez is throwing something at Lee, it's going to look more significant as in terms of like if it's going to hurt or not. So I guess that must be a tough, I mean, judging a catchweight fight in general must be tough because it's like hard to determine a lot of things, especially if it goes to decision.
For a lot of judges, it's just tough for them because they don't know what they're looking at really.
Yeah.
No, Rodriguez ended up outstriking Lee by 11. He landed more and at a higher percentage. It was just a takedown, really. But yeah, it was, I don't know. I thought it was a close fight.
Yeah, it was very close. I think people were more so upset about it because Lee had a tough weekend.
Yeah, really tough week.
I think that's why more people were more upset about it than they should have been, I guess.
I know he learned English, but I don't think his English is very good.
It's
still
not good, no.
So he was probably so confused when it was all happening. They're like, someone's trying to like translate everything for him. He's just kind of like looking around. He's like, yo, what? Like,
yeah. Speaking of that.
Hot, like the one time Conor McGregor said something that I agree with in the last like 2 years.
Oh,
he can't. Dana should not have let this happen. Because now you're gonna have people doing this all the time.
I agree. Yeah.
Because when a guy's not happy about his fight or his purse, he can just be like, "Oh, I'm not gonna make weight," and then everything's gonna go crazy.
Yeah, and then they're gonna be like, "Oh, you can't do that." And then they're gonna be like, "Oh, well, they did that."
Yeah, exactly. And then it's gonna look bad. So it's like that was the one thing.
If we're being honest, I think they should have canceled the card.
Yeah, but they only done that once, twice, I guess, with COVID, but like once in UFC history, and it was when John Jones got caught for
the drugs.
Yeah, the steroids. So besides that, like Dana, there's no chance. If Dana's like, oh, we're either going to make money or make no money, there's no chance.
It's like make money the wrong way or make no money. Yeah, we'll make money.
Yeah, we'll just last minute switch everything. Yeah. But yeah.
All right.
Shout out Tony Ferguson for saving the card once again.
You did. Yeah. Shout out Tony. I wanted you to win, so Josh. So, but it's okay. Nate Diaz. Hope you have your good luck in the rest of your ventures, whatever you decide to do.
Apparently, starting.
Please don't block Jake Paul. I beg.
No, apparently he's starting a league.
Really?
Yeah, a real fight league or something. I don't know. Real gangs. I don't know what it is.
Okay. Well, I mean,
he's starting his own promotion.
I assume people will watch it because people love Nate Diaz. I'm not a huge Nate Diaz guy personally, but I know people love
Diaz
him.
Diaz Army.
So yeah. Well, that's been the show. The first show in about a month. Thank you for joining us. Next week, we'll be back.
Yeah.
We'll figure out what we're going to talk about then. And, so that's been the first show in a month. This has been the CDJ's number one longest-running program. That's about it. I'm Greg. This is Josh. This has been The Press Box. Thank you for joining us. You want to say something before we leave?
Love you guys.